It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, blending business and politics. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. It is great to be with you guys today, and what a fantastic time it is in our history. I mean, good and bad and ugly, right? We've kind of got all of it going on. Maybe a little more ugly lately than we'd like, internationally as well as domestically. But when you look at the information flow, we talked about this last week, right? You guys are content consumers. As listeners, you're content consumers. And we are content creators. And then somewhere in the mix of creating content, it used to be that you were telling the truth. You know, you made sure that people were informed about what was going on. You wanted people to have access to knowledge and information. And one of the most fantastic things in many ways that came on the planet was this thing called Google. You know, when I was a kid, we had Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm dating myself, right? And in the Encyclopedia Britannica, you could just flip open to any page and you would find something you didn't know. It was amazing. And now with a young one, I'll say to him, he'd say, where is such and such, or what is so and so? And I say, I don't know. Google it. Just Google it. Google became the Encyclopedia Britannica of the current age. And it was this place where you could go for great information. You could learn about countries and animals and parasites. Anything you wanted, you could find in Google. But then something happened and it shifted. And I don't think we knew it until, frankly, my guest started to blow the whistle about what was going on. We might have suspected something was off when we couldn't find things. But it was like there was this other part, a closet, if you will, where things were put or kept or blocked so that we couldn't get that information. Well, who decides what information you should have or can have and what you can't? Apparently, there's a committee. So I wanted to invite on a new friend of mine, somebody I met at CPAC, and I liked him, as my girlfriend used to say, instant like when I met him, his energy, his enthusiasm, and frankly, his passion for truth. And so welcome to Success Happens, Zach Voorhees.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's good to be here.
Oh my gosh. It's so great to have you. You know, when I first met you, I just liked you immediately. But I was so shocked by what you told me and what became apparent through your work that you exposed some things that I think all of us, frankly, we're heartbroken. It's kind of heartbreaking to think that people are withholding information from us. It's a bit of a betrayal, actually. And so whether it's in a personal relationship or it's in a massive institution, we'll call it, like Google. But I wanted people to first get to know you. So could you tell them your background and why you became a whistleblower for Google?
Yeah, well, I would consider myself like a classical liberal that was pretty apathetic about the whole political landscape because nothing really made any sense. And I pretty much thought that the whole thing was kind of rigged a little bit. But wasn't until like the Trump election when things took a really weird turn at work. Google started off as kind of a libertarian organization. They wanted you to be expressed by the computers and use this technology to be able to, launch yourself, and you express yourself online, and their search engine's able to find and link to you and then index all your stuff so that you become relevant when someone's trying to do a search about that topic. And I really liked everything that they stood for. All the way up until Trump won the election, they were a great organization. And then after Trump won, they literally caught Trump derangement syndrome and started to just undo all the good things that they had done and usher in this really weird type of censorship called machine learning fairness, which I was able to expose. And essentially, this was a project that was in Stanford 2014, and they ingested it. They brought it into Google, and then they turned it on to the 2016 election. And then 2017, it got turned on more. And then 2018, it was like really big. And then like 2019, it was just unbearable. And now, you know, what do you see with Google? You can type in pretty much any search that has anything to do with politics. And what you're going to be witnessing is a search engine that has been reconfigured so that all the things that you read are basically going to be politically motivated.
Aren't they also leaning in a particular direction?
I mean, yeah, it's like a deep state propaganda like operation right now. Like, you know, just type in idiot into the images.google.com and you'll see, you know, pictures of Donald Trump as like the very first thing. And this was happening with anything that was political that was happening in real time. You could search for it, and some mainstream media would have hijacked the keywords and redirected it towards anti-Trump sentiment. Like, you could even do something as specific as Obama kids in cages, and it would turn into like a negative Trump article, like every single time. And they were doing it because they wanted to keep their thumbs on the scales of the electoral engine and rig it so that people could only find the information that, you know, these oligarchs wanted you to find. And the reason why they were doing that is really simple. If they control the information that you see, then people's opinion only forms from the information that they are able to have access to. And so by hiding the information that was like pro one side and, you know, flooding the information landscape with information for a different political party, i.e. the DNC, Google was able to essentially control the information to such an extent that what their hope was is that we would vote for one side that they wanted, which is their deep state side, you know, across the world. And when I say across the world, I mean, they were rigging stuff. They were censoring stuff across the world. I mean, it got so bad that, for example, in Ireland, when they were doing the whole abortion referendum, Google came out and started removing terms that would cause people to vote in the way of being pro-life, even going so far as to remove the phrase, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution of Ireland. Like, this was found in the YouTube blacklist, which I've disclosed in my book, Google Leaks. They actually deleted the phrase, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution of Ireland. And they wanted to do this in order to prevent people from finding that constitutional amendment. What did that constitutional amendment have to do? It had to do with the right of life. And, you know, there are instances like this. And not only did they plan to do this, but they also wrote their plans down in their corporate internet. Any full-time engineer could just go and find this stuff. People sometimes assume that I worked on it, which I did not. I was just a full-time engineer with access to their internal search engine. And when I would get curious, I would start digging down and see all the stuff that they had. And I went, I can't believe that they're doing this. And the public has no idea that they're doing this. And so, you know, me as just an engineer in the middle of this system, I decided that it was so outrageous that I was going to just start copying it down to my laptop, because I really needed some sort of concrete evidence that this censorship, this machine learning fairness, was being turned on, and was being turned on a wide scale.
What I hear, Zach, is they weaponized it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, we are dealing with that in so many places, right? Around medicines, around different political issues. And the weaponizing of something as simple as information against people to manipulate their thoughts, their opinions, and their leanings is mm-hmm. something we always said would never happen in the great United States of America. I mean, it really yeah. is shocking.
Well, our war machine is essentially coming home to roost, and this manipulation of the internet was something that we did to target countries to destabilize them. You know, things like the Arab Spring. The untold story about the Arab Spring is the role that technology played to censor information in order to push the people into a revolution. And as I've been sort of uncovering, like, what exactly was this machine learning fairness and where did it come from? What I realized is that it was something born from the military-industrial complex, and now they're turning it on the American citizens and, you know, our allies. And they're turning it on because they want to, like, essentially what I believe is that the elites think that democracy has failed. And so they're trying to regain control, but the people aren't essentially having it anymore because, I mean, the news has just gone to a completely ridiculous part right now. Like, I turn on the television and I'm just like, how can anyone believe any of this garbage that's on television right now? Like, they've gone beyond what I thought they could possibly go, you know, and I mean about this whole pandemic and this whole booster shots, the vaccines, like the FDA even said that we're not going to recommend the booster, right? And the FDA is pretty thoroughly corrupt, you know, as is. And the CDC came in and overruled them and said, nope, boosters are back on the menu. And we're kind of imploding, kind of destroying ourselves through this whole pandemic thing. And the reason why it's such a circus is because I believe that, you know, the elites are trying to take back control of the world. And the social media system, which is essentially a cybernetic collective of individuals sharing basically kind of a mind space by the interconnects. That's what happens, like Twitter and Facebook. You're responding to people. It's a cybernetic organization. That system is essentially turning on the elites by sharing truth. And right now they've realized, I believe, kind of caught them flat-footed, that if they don't do something now, then the social media system is going to expose all the truth, all the lies. We're going to realize that the system that we thought, which was good governance and globalization, is actually just a very wicked church.
Wow. So you're listening to Success Happens, and I have with me today Zach Voorhees, and he is a former senior engineer with Google who blew the whistle on all of what you just heard. And we're going to do so much digging into this. So Zach, as you, in your position as a senior engineer, you had access, as you explained, but at what point did you decide? See, I think there's something interesting to explore with you about being a whistleblower, because I think there's a lot of people out there right now who know stuff, who are afraid to say anything, because if they say something, bad things will happen. But having the courage, like you did, and the smarts to do what you did, to cover yourself and to expose the truth. Explain to people what it is to be a whistleblower.
Yeah, I think one of the big things is that we're kind of intolerant to evil, you know, and it's like we see what's going on and we're like, we feel almost alone because it's something that's so obvious, but everyone seems to be blind to it. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about how Google could have taken this turn to the dark side, and everyone pretty much was okay with it, you know, at least on the surface. And there's a portion of liberal people that were like, we don't like what's going on, you know, but it's kind of weird, but hey, I like my job because, you know, everyone was getting paid really well at Google, and who wants to rock the boat? And so it's pretty much like a split between the true believers and the people that just don't want to rock the boat. And then there's people like me that really like the American system. Like, I think the Constitution's amazing. I don't want to see it go because I think that the banking cartel, if they don't have something like the Constitution to chain them down, they're just going to, you know, run us like one of the other failed states. And so I was quite fond of America and the whole concept of like, hey, let's do an insurrection against the president and seem to like overthrow the system. I said, wow, this is really sort of intolerable. And as it started to get worse and worse and worse, as the attacks from Google onto Trump got worse and worse, I realized that I was part of an insurrection and that I had a duty to the American public to let them know that there was an AI weapon pointed directly at their minds.
Oh, wow. Okay. On that note, we're going to take a break. That's amazing. And I want to talk further about that because God bless you for having the courage to stand up against the massive system that was doing really wrong things to our country. And, you know, if you hadn't said something, who would have? So I think it takes tremendous courage to be a whistleblower. And I'm calling upon people listening. If you know something, say something. If you're in the medical field or you're in a hospital and you're witnessing what's going on, say something. There's protections for you. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Sweeties on the Creek, we're scooping now. KW Photography Design, Kara Wynn does a great job on website design and graphics. And also want to thank Flamingo Pool Supply.
Success Happens is brought to you in part by Flamingo Pool Supply, Industry Lane, Frederick. The best for your pool today.
Are you ready to lighten up, tighten up, shed, and shred? With plant-based protein, antioxidant fruits, organic greens and veggies, plus gut health, for a fraction of the cost you are already spending, this Super 30-Day program may support you to build muscle, burn fat, reset metabolism, lift brain fog, increase productivity, break addictions, nourish, detoxify, and cleanse. Are you ready to look and feel your best? Replace 60 organic meals for only $11 a day with live, organic, non-GMO superfood nutrition delivered right to your door. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Go to superfoodswithjen.com.
A picture's worth a thousand words. Capture your wedding memories in stunning photography by Kara Wynn at KW Photography Design in a price you can afford. Here's what a bride had to say.
Working with Kara for our wedding was easy and the pictures are phenomenal. I'm so glad we chose KW Photography Design.
Call Kara at 240-344-3224 or visit kwphotographydesign.com. Making your memories last a lifetime.
Join us on Restaurant Row Creekside. Enjoy great restaurants including La Casona with fresh Tex-Mex favorites and happy hour weekday specials. Or Truth and Beauty offering unique tasty American fare and brunch. Stop by Sweeties on the Creek for yummy fresh made ice cream, frozen desserts, sweet treats, and plush toys. The Carroll Creek parking deck is right next door. Great food, fun times. Come visit us at Creekside.
When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Wind up the workday with Tim and Frank. You'll stay informed and even share a few laughs on Mid-Maryland Live. Afternoons following the O'Reilly Update on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Zach Voorhees, who was a senior engineer with Google and an insider on what was going on in the, as you put it, Zach, the turn to the dark side that Google took when they apparently didn't like the outcome that Trump won because he was going to upset an apple cart. He told people, I mean, he said, I'm going after the deep state. So anybody who was a part of that system was going to be dealt with. So I want to go back to something you said, which I think is so important. And I actually had this conversation with Liz Harrington a couple weeks ago on the show, who is the press secretary for Donald Trump. And we were talking about insurrection, how they flipped the narrative. We're comms people. So it's like, wait, you don't get to flip the narrative and call us insurrectionists when you did so on November 3rd. So, you know, I've said publicly the insurrection happened on November 3rd. It did not happen on January 6th. Can you say more about that, your view of the insurrection and how it occurred within the system that you were a part of?
Let me just give you the best sort of example of, like, kind of the insurrection. You may remember that May 2017, Donald Trump went to the Middle East, and he did that whole thing with Saudi Arabia. He was, like, in Saudi Arabia for, like, a month or maybe it was, like, a couple weeks. But the important thing is that when he came back, he made this really cryptic tweet using the word covfefe.
I don't remember that. So say more about that.
He had this like tweet where he's like, despite the negative constant press, covfefe. And immediately the New York Times wrote this article saying, oh, well, this word covfefe just is nonsense. Well, the problem with it is that it was a word that translated at Google from their translation dictionary, translate.google.com. If you typed in covfefe, it would detect that it was Arabic and say, we will stand up. And so what Google did, what the New York Times did is that they said this word's nonsense. Google took that New York Times article the next day, June 1st, 2017, deleted the word covfefe from their Arabic translation dictionary, which then made the word nonsense. And as a result of this nonsense word, they started hammering the president over this covfefe thing. And then they tried to use the 25th Amendment, which was argued by the Washington Post and a bunch of other, you know, rags. They were trying to get the president out of office saying that he was mentally unstable. Why? Because he's tweeting nonsense. Well, yeah, he's tweeting nonsense because you're literally deleting the words out of your dictionary in order to make them nonsense. And that's just like kind of a snapshot of, you know, the links that Google was willing to do in order to hurt a duly elected president of the United States. Another example is their all-hands meeting 1 week after the president was elected. You know, they sat down and they said, they talked to the whole company in a very inappropriate way, saying how they needed to make, you know, this president a one-term president, that they thought that populism was a blip on the map, and how that they realized late at night that they weren't going to win this one. And I remember thinking to myself, wait a minute, what is Google saying, you know, that we're not going to win this one? Like, this isn't Google's election. This is the election by the American people. And Google should be politically neutral on all of this. And the very fact that they were talking in such a way against the president kind of like, you know, was the first hint that they were going to go hard against Donald Trump and that they were going to change everything in order to do it.
It's like they lost their soul.
It's yeah.
Very interesting. So when you look at your experience, I want to go back to the idea of what it is to be a whistleblower. Were you afraid?
Yeah, I was really afraid. I was like, what the heck am I doing? I had these like, you know, nightmares that they caught me, you know, and that they caught me before I was able to release the information, and then therefore no one knew or would come to my aid, you know. And so
were you afraid for your safety?
Yeah, I was afraid that at any point that they were going to be able to catch me, because, you know, when you look at a file, there's a log somewhere in the system that logs the fact that you looked at it. And so I knew that as I was looking at all of these very sensitive documents that were just out in the open, that once someone at Google realized all the damaging stuff that was just left open on these internal servers, that they would then go and say, well, shoot, who looked at it? Oh, well, look, Zach looked at this, and look, he also looked at that. And then once they figured that out, HR would grab me and pull me into a room, and then they would say, why are you looking at all these things? And then I would, you know, come up with an excuse that, oh, I'm just curious, right? And then that would be it. I know that other people, there was a guy named Kevin Cernacki, he gathered a bunch of evidence on Google's manipulation and bias. They threw the book at him. They HR ambushed him. They grabbed his laptop. And then they looked at his laptop and said, this person is being malicious for criminal intent. And they filed criminal charges against him. He had to fight it. He had to spend $100,000 of his own money defending himself from a frivolous set of you know, lawsuits from Google about him, you know, seeing their evidence. And I figured that this was probably going to be my fate if I didn't, you know, get this leak out. And so I went looking for a group that could do this leak justice. And first I went to Breitbart, but there was a guy by the name of Matt Tyrmand. He was sitting on the board of directors. He was like, this is actually too big for Breitbart. We need to move this to an organization that can actually do it justice. And that organization was Project Veritas. And so after giving them the information, they looked at it and they were like, this is too weird. You know, James O'Keefe literally thought that he was being suckered in on a thing just because it was so extreme, which was 2017. But it wasn't until they actually coincidentally met a person working on the exact system that I had described, machine learning fairness, that they finally realized that the disclosure that I had given them wasn't a psyop, that it was like the real deal. And so they did a sting operation on Google that lasted many weeks, if not months. They won't tell me exactly all the things that went down on it to get it, but they ended up catching a person by the name of Jenjanai, who was a director at Google involved in their AI stuff. And they made like a fake organization that was like doing outreach. They contacted Jenjanai, said, hey, we'd like to bring you on as a mentor. She's like, great. They like met her for drinks down in the Mission District of San Francisco, actually not that far from where I live. And schmoozed her, got a little bit drunk, and then she said what we've been trying to prove right out into the camera without knowing it. She was talking about breaking up Google and what Elizabeth Warren was trying to do. So she said, oh, I love Elizabeth Warren, because she's like Irish. I love Elizabeth Warren, but she's very misguided. She wants to break up Google. And those smaller companies individually will not be able to stop the next Trump situation. And it was like, boom, like we got them, right? Like they got this transcript of the director admitting that Google was going to stop the next Trump situation. And that's the reason why they needed to keep them together as one big company instead of break them up.
Okay, so let me wrap up around that, because we're going to go to a quick break. So what you just said they discovered is election interference. Illegal. Illegal. This is the stuff that we need to be pulling up out of the waste baskets that these people are hiding this stuff in. Zach, you're amazing. You're listening to Success Happens. I have with me today Zach Voorhees, a Google whistleblower working with Project Veritas. Great. You know, you guys have the complexity of what had to occur to unearth the truth through the many different facets of this is absolutely epic. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Zach Voorhees, a hero and a patriot, somebody who went out against the massive Google system and said, we will know the truth about what you are doing. And their interference in the election process is absolutely shocking. And let me ask you this. You were going to say something before we went to break, and then I want to ask you about any legal ramifications of all this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just finishing up, like, you know, Jenjanai wanted to stop the next Trump situation. She wanted Google to do it. She was pretty much on board with that, and she said it casually with no sense of irony. And unfortunately for her, she said it to undercover people with that were filming her in a public space. And so when the whole, you know, machine learning fairness leaks came out in June and then again in August, you know, it was not just coming from me, a whistleblower, it was also coming from the company executives themselves. And that was actually probably one of the most important aspects of this whole disclosure, is the fact that we actually got Google to say, in plain language, what they were trying to do. And when the American people saw that, they were revolted.
What did they say specifically?
Jenjanai said that only something the size of Google could stop the next Trump situation.
When you look at all of this that took place in these undercover videos and the exposure of the truth. Was that enough for legal action? It seems to me there's evidence here of tampering with an election at a massive scale that would influence not one state, but every state and every any user of Google.
I mean, at the very least, Google should be taken down by the election commission. They should be taken down as an illegal lobbyist. You know, they're not registered as a lobbying organization. They've got the control dial on the entire internet, you know, information landscape. We don't have to invent a new law to, like, prosecute Google. They've broken laws on the books. It's just that there's no will to prosecute them because the enemy's in the control of the White House now. All this stuff that they were doing was leading up to this Biden presidency and being able to get Donald Trump out and put their deep stater in. And they did it. Like, much as I thought that they wouldn't be able to do it, this is where we're at right now. So the chances that they're going to be able to be held accountable for their election rigging is essentially zero at the federal level. Though there is some interesting developments that are happening in Florida, which they're trying to use in order to come after Facebook for being essentially an unregistered lobbyist. But I hope that one day, if we can get Donald Trump back into the presidency, that Google will finally meet its reckoning and will be brought to justice, because they told Congress, they told their stockholders, they told the world that they would be politically neutral. And as soon as the wrong president was democratically elected, they threw all of that away in order to backdoor communism.
So when you look at the regulations for internet, I think that one of the things that, if we look at it legislatively, but back to your point, there may not be will. And I think that we're going to have to file a bunch of lawsuits. And I think that there are a bunch coming, actually, based on some conversations I'm having. But there has to be an accounting at the judicial level, because the prosecutors, the state's attorneys, the Department of Justice, the FBI are all in on it. Not all, but, you know, better than 50% and those in charge. So I've been thinking, and I'm just going to brainstorm with you here, that the FCC regulations that oversee things like us, you know, on radio, where does a perhaps a broader umbrella organization that includes FCC and on air, but would also include online regulations to prohibit such things going forward, if indeed we can save our country from going off the communist cliff that we are headed for?
I honestly don't know how it's legal. I don't think what they did was legal. I think that it was illegal. I think that they're not being brought to justice, because, you know, the criminals have control of the judicial system. So, you know, I raised money to file a lawsuit. You know, I've been through that process. You know, I filed it on behalf of the YouTube content creators against YouTube. I wasn't actually part of the plaintiff pool, but I was the organizer. And it's really expensive, and the system's pretty rigged. And Google's, you know, they've done their homework. You know, they put all these contractual clauses that you have to sue them in a very particular court district, which is the California court district. And, you know, you can't really sue them in any other state by their contract. Donald Trump is actually trying to do this right now, but he's got to basically overcome the jurisdictional requirements of the end user license agreement.
Well, let me say something about that. And this is, having lived with an attorney for most of my life, my dad's a constitutional attorney. The fraud eviscerates everything. So if they're committing fraud, or they're committing these acts of, frankly, treason against the country, insurrection is treason. If they indeed are participating in such things that are overturning an election, either in 2016 where they tried to do so, or in 2020 when they did, that should open the doors for some of the actions that you're referring to.
Yeah, but it's the thread that undoes the entire blanket of globalism, because once you find out that there's fraud in the election, then the question is, well, how much fraud? And then it turns out that, oh, it looks like every place where there's the Dominion machine, they're rigging the elections, like, grossly, grotesquely. And that's, it's going to cause a lot of social instability. I mean, we are facing all this social instability. And so the idea that, like, the corrupt system is going to police itself, like, essentially right now, from my opinion, like, you know, it's so thoroughly corrupt that I don't think that there's going to be any way to get justice back. There needs to be some sort of, populist revolution across multiple countries in order to hold them to account. And these regulatory agencies that everyone's trying to talk about building up, like, oh, we need to, like, regulate Google like a utility. Well, if you do that, then, you know, the next sites that everyone's trying to build now, they're going to be locked down as well. Like, those laws that are going to lock down Google that they want to put in, like, try running a forum where you're trying to have a counter-narrative to what the propaganda outlets are trying to say, and they're going to shut you down. They're going to shut you down with the FCC. And this is what I'm really afraid of, because everyone's trying to get rid of Section 230, and I feel that we're almost walking into a trap, because if we get rid of Section 230, that's essentially the First Amendment expressed online, you know, in a really clever way, which is saying that you can't be sued. And if you can be sued based upon what you post, what other people are posting, then, you know, goodbye free speech. We're going to end up like France or, you know, like Europe, where, you know, you can talk about the immigration stuff and then you go to jail. And I think that that's where we're heading for, in this more lockdown authoritarian, you know, country. And if they get rid of Section 230, if the conservatives do that, saying, oh, we're going to own Google, I want to warn you guys that you're just going to be putting more bars on your prison cell, because that Section 230 is the only thing that protects the little guy to be able to have a competitor to Google. Once that Section 230 goes down, in my opinion, that's it. Game over. There's no competition, and the big tech oligarchs will be cemented by law, and no one will be able to compete against them, just because, you know, anyone could just go onto one of these forums or Gab and, you know, put down terrorist content. And if all of a sudden that results in a lawsuit against Gab that shuts them down, then that's the game over.
Yeah, to your point, you have no competition to hold others to account. But in the Google space, I'm wondering if it's akin to really a utility. Is it really a public utility now that should be monitored by a neutral, non-corrupt government, if we can ever get one back? So let's take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens today. I have Zach Voorhees with me. And Zach, I just appreciate your courage and coming out about the truth on what's going on and how many people are really disadvantaged and put in a box because of the way Google has turned its resources against the people. And it's not right that they have the ability to filter information according to their will. I mean, who left them in charge?
No one elected them. Who put them in charge?
Exactly. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Zach Voorhees, who is a whistleblower who worked for Google as a senior engineer. And we've gotten really the inside scoop from you, and I truly appreciate your time. I wanted people to know about your book. Tell us, why did you write the book, and where can they find it?
You know, I wanted to put all this into, you know, book format and get everything to be easily digestible. And so it was going through the creation of this book where I really organized all of the leaks together, figured out what was important, what people had to know, because there's 950 pages of leaks. And I won't say that all of it is that mind-bending, but some of it certainly is. And so I took all the best parts of what people should know, and I put it into a coherent narrative of how I blew the whistle on the world's biggest, most evil corporation of all of human history. And, you know, the hard information, the documents needed to substantiate, you know, that this, what this leak was and what Google was trying to do. And let me tell you, even the liberal press likes this book, which is something that really surprised us. We thought that it might be a little bit too much conservative, but it turns out that you know, liberals love data too. So they look at the data in this book, and Kirkus Reviews specifically said that this is a serious book that people need to read, because it's a moment of history where we find out that, you know, the big organization that the entire media loved, which was Google, was actually plotting to subjugate everyone under this neo-feudalist society, for lack of a better term. And they were trying to do it by the control of our information. They thought of us as controllable, programmable units. In fact, that was seen in multiple slides that I covered, that people like us are programmed. That's the way that they think. That's what Google thinks about their users, something that they can program, and they can program it using their search engine and censorship across their product.
So the book is Google Leaks, A Whistleblower's Exposé of Big Tech Censorship. And you wrote this with Kent Hecken-Lively, is that correct?
Yes. He's the author of Plague of Corruption with Judy Mikovits.
Wonderful. Truly appreciate you being on with me, sharing your book. And you also got an acknowledgement from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. That's a big deal.
Yep. He says Zach Voorhees' American hero. Donald Trump also said that I was an American hero at the Trump Doral after one of his debates. I happened to run into him where he came into this bar at the Trump Doral in near Miami. And his daughter was with him, and I know his daughter, Tiffany. And Donald Trump saw me, pointed right at me, and said, "You, sir, are an American hero." And it was the highest honor I've ever had. So hopefully we can get him back into the presidency, and we can bring these corrupt corporations to account for what they've done to the American people and to the world. And I pray every day that that justice will come one day if we're patient enough.
And it shall. I believe God has a plan for us, and we're not done yet. Now, Zach, what's the advice you would give to somebody listening who is potentially a whistleblower? What would you say to them to get in action?
So if you're on the inside, see what's going on, you're not alone. You know, we all see it. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, you actually can do something about it. And eventually, each one of us has the same fate. You know, given a long enough timeline, our survival rate falls to zero. And the only thing that will matter when it's all done is what we did while we were alive. Essentially, it's you only live once. And you might as well make the best impact that you can. And if you're on the inside seeing evil, you can expose that evil and you can put your place into the book of history. And people need to be brave, because it's the actions of a few small, determined people that change the outcourse of history. And if you're on the inside and you see that, you know, America can really use your bravery. And I want to promise you that if you do make that decision, that there will be people that will protect you. And having disclosed everything that Google did, my conscience is clear. And I've absolved my guilt for having partaked in that system. And I'm not rich anymore in terms of the income that I'm making, but I'm very rich in the fact that I feel that I have alignment with God. And that's something that I've never felt before. And I can tell people that, yes, the burden can be lifted. And, yes, you know, blow the whistle, expose the corrupt edifice to the people. And you'll be rewarded in ways that I can barely describe.
Ah, that's beautifully said, Zach. Very moving. And thank you. Thank you for being a hero and a patriot and a courageous person. We are so grateful for you. And I want to let everybody know that there are ways to reach out for help. And, you know, if you have an interest in exposing information in the medical system, in the hospitals, in the doctor's office, in the pharmaceuticals, we're interested in hearing from you. And you can reach out to me at jennifer@charltoncommunications.com. That's jennifer@charltoncommunications.com. And listen, have a great week. We love and appreciate you. Check in with us next week, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., for another great show of Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek, We're Scooping Now, and KW Photography and Design. Stop into Flamingo Pool Supplies if you're getting ready to close up your pool for the season, and they'll help you out. Have a great week, everybody.